This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-600-1645. That's 800-600-1645. 800-600-1645.
Welcome to the program. It's Pat and Stu, along with Jeffy, a valuable member of the team. Jeffy? Okay, maybe I was wrong. 888-727-BECK is our phone number.
You feeling all right?
No, well, you just didn't. I was asking, looking for you to add something to the conversation. You didn't chime in, so I reversed my position.
Stunning surprise, by the way, that he didn't add anything.
He's just filling what I think is his wiener. I don't know what's going on down there. All I can see is Jeffy with his hand.
You want me to step out?
Yes! We've been asking for that for years.
No, I mean, step so you can see what I'm doing.
Oh, no, definitely not. So, interesting, we didn't even talk about half of these stories today, and thank God. I gotta say, I saw this story last night. It was about Elizabeth Warren, which, number one, is going to turn me off and say I don't want to talk about it. Number two, it was some procedural matter in the Senate, which really made me want to turn it off. But let me give you at least a little nugget of contrarianism, I guess, that you're going to get on talk radio for the rest of the day. And I'm sure news sources as well on the conservative side of the dial. I think Elizabeth Warren's actually right here. I actually think she's the one that's correct here. Here's the situation. Elizabeth Warren prohibited last night, from speaking on the Senate floor for the rest of the debate over Senator Jeff Sessions' nomination to be Attorney General. Drama began when Warren, quoting a 30-year-old letter by a civil rights leader, Coretta Scott King, referred to Sessions as a disgrace. King's letter was written in 1986 when Sessions was nominated to the federal bench but was never confirmed. King, the widow of Martin Luther King Jr., of course, also wrote that when acting as federal prosecutor, Sessions used his power to, quote, chill the free exercise of the vote by black citizens. Warren's reference drew the ire of Mitch McConnell, who said Warren had impugned the motives of our colleague from Alabama. Now, the rule goes, this is Rule 19 of the Senate, which was talked about. If you heard Rule 19, this is what it actually says. No senator in debate shall directly or indirectly, by any form of words, impute another senator or to other senators any conduct or motive unworthy of or unbecoming a senator. First of all, that rule is insanely dumb. No, senators can't say that other senators are doing bad things because if you're a senator, you're immune from criticism? Screw you! That is the dumbest rule I've ever heard in my life.
That's what they're pissed about Cruz about, right?
These guys are all in a club. Yeah, exactly. They were all. That's the dumbest thing. And I backed it with Cruz, and I'll back it here. You should be able to say about another senator that they suck. You should be able to say that they lied. You should be able to say that they're insane or communists or fascists or whatever you want. We live in a country where we have a First Amendment that protects speech like this. And especially in this context,
and those,
it was basically built to protect political speech.
And all those senators can go on that damn Senate floor and impugn anyone else they want in the country, but don't say something bad about another esteemed colleague from another state.
Thank you very much. And this is another thing that they said, that all the analysis have said from all the smart people inside Washington. you know what? They might go after Betsy DeVos. They're not going to stop Sessions. But you know why? Because he's another senator.
Yep, he's one of them.
He's in their freaking club. And yeah, they'll get the vote. They'll get enough votes to make it look close. All the Democrats will do it. But you'll not get anyone on the other side to switch. And if it became close, they wouldn't wind up doing it because they don't do this to other senators. That sucks. Just foundationally for your country blows. It's a terrible precedent and it shouldn't exist. Am I, you disagreeing with any of this, Pat?
No.
Thank you. Rule 19 should go down and Pat agrees. So therefore it shall go down. Okay, that's number one. Number two, if the rule does exist, which it sadly does and should be, you know, the right person to get this rule gone is Donald Trump. Donald Trump should stand up and take a stand and say, you know what, screw this ridiculous rule. I'm going to go on Twitter, I'm going to tweet crap about everybody I don't like, and they should be able to say everything that they don't like. That is a drain-the-swamp issue, very clearly. They can't say things that impute others' character. Screw off. That's exactly what they should be doing when the other person's character sucks. They should be saying it. They should be honest. They're representing the people, and they should be honest in doing so. But let's say the rule does exist. Elizabeth Warren comes in there, and she reads a letter written in 1986 by Martin Luther King's wife. She isn't adding commentary to it. She's just reading it. In the letter, they say Coretta Scott King says bad things about Jeff Sessions, and they stop her from reading it. Get us. I mean, can we have any backbone here? Can your skin be any thinner? You know what? So what? My guess is Coretta Scott King was completely wrong. I don't think that Jeff Sessions was this guy. I don't think there's any real evidence that suggests he was this racist guy that Democrats want to say. But you know what? So what? She's reading a letter. You know what would have happened if you just let her do it? Everyone would have ignored it and no one would have even known it occurred. So Republicans get all pissy about this guy being criticized in a letter by someone else, which was in the Senate record, by the way, this letter from long ago. The fact that she's reading it 31 years later is a reason to stop her. And then, by the way, it's done nothing but help Elizabeth Warren, who then went to Facebook Live and had millions of views of her finishing the letter, and it's raked in millions of dollars in donations. It's a stupid way to handle it. It's a stupid rule in the first place. And I don't mean to impute the character of senators, but the rule sucks and it should be removed immediately.
It's really House of Lords kind of stuff.
Right.
It's un-American.
Yeah.
It's un-American.
It is. And you know, you go to the British system, Pat. We've seen this how many times. These guys are out there. They're screaming at the guy talking.
They don't even do this in the House of Lords.
In the House of Lords anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
But that's the kind of stuff you can't. I'm a lord. You can't say anything like that about me. How dare you?
I have a better class and therefore do not deserve this.
That's what this kind of rule is all about. And it's nonsense. And we've heard this kind of rumbling before from the Senate with Ted Cruz, and it's insanity.
It's wrong then, and it's wrong now, even though it's Elizabeth Warren doing it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's anybody out there anymore who gives a crap about points like that, because I would much rather have somebody who says that it was wrong for Cruz and it's wrong for Warren, because I guarantee every Democrat today is saying how absolutely horrible it was for Elizabeth Warren to be treated like this. But there was no backing for Ted Cruz in those times. And the same thing, a lot of the people who backed Cruz in those times are now saying, how dare Elizabeth Warren violate this sacred rule? It's bullcrap on both sides, and that should be called out. I think we live in a country where that should still be called out.
I mean, listen to the wording of Rule 19 again. No senator in debate shall, indirectly or directly, by any form of words, impute to another senator or to another senators or to other senators any conduct or motive unworthy of becoming a senator. What?
Think about that.
What?
That's basically inoculating
that's
you.
That's unbelievable.
It makes you completely inoculated from any criticism by another senator in debate. But I mean, that's when the most important things they do occur.
Now, Senator Harry Reid can stand up on the Senate floor and accuse two private citizens of being responsible for climate change, of being evil, of trying to subvert the country, of all kinds of
saying former governors that are running for president haven't paid their taxes
in 10 years.
Yeah.
All of those things. He can lie through his buttocks if he wants to. Mm-hmm. And he did and does And, well, at least until he was gone, he did on a regular basis. I mean, every day that freaking guy stood up and started railing against the Koch brothers. Two people, because they contribute to political things they believe in, and he had to put up with that. But Harry Reid, on the other hand, doesn't have to put up with anything from anybody in that body. It's pretty unbelievable.
It really is. And, you know, I know a lot of people hold these rules to be so sacred. I mean, come on.
No, that's ridiculous.
It's absurd.
That's ridiculous.
You know, I mean, obviously, like, there is a... The same lines that handle normal speech among normal people should apply there. You know, obviously, like, you know, for example, if we were to call Jeffy upstanding citizen, that would be a lie. Mm-hmm. And someone might come to us and say, "Hey, that I'm suing you for lying on television about Jeffy and him being an upstanding citizen." And I would say I understand that. That's why I don't say it. I just try to say the truth, especially if it was a willing lie. You know, like you knew the truth. You know the truth about Jeffy, and you were to say he's a good guy. Like, that would be wrong. The same way that if you came out and you said, Senator Cornyn is a child molester, well, then, you know, obviously you're saying something you know to be untrue, or at least you have no reason to believe it's true, and you should be hammered for that. But those cures already exist in our society. You know, you start saying stuff that's blatantly untrue, repeat it many, many times, and say it with a motivation to try to hurt someone, even though you know it's not true. There are remedies to that.
I can think of one.
What?
No, I was just thinking of remedies. Go on, Stu. I'm sorry.
Thank you for proving my point. but I mean, you know, that already exists in our society. You don't need a special rule so that senators are nice to each other. How about this? Just be nice and be a normal freaking human being. Be a person who actually respects others. Be someone who stands up and says, you know what? I'm not gonna treat you like crap unless, you know, there's real reason to. Real reason. Thank you. Real reason to. Yes, there are exceptions to every rule, but this rule in the Senate is stupid. It should be gone. I mean, it doesn't. You know, it's this privileged nonsense that gets you Trump, right? Mm-hmm. They're so sick of hearing, "Oh, well, you're not allowed to say something bad." But as Harry Reid will come in and just trash private citizens and ruin their lives from the Senate floor. But obviously, you can't say something bad about another senator. It's that nonsensical crap that gets you somebody like Donald Trump. Which, you know, again, there's good parts about that and bad parts about that. But this is the pushback.
Yeah. Yep. Meanwhile, Vice President Mike Pence had to cast a tie-breaking vote on Betsy DeVos yesterday as Education Secretary. They tied, was it 48 all? Is that what it was? 48 all or 50?
50-50.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
everyone showed up, which is amazing.
Everybody was there for a vote. That's
wow.
Unbelievable.
Incredible.
So anyway, they tied 50-50. Now, that shouldn't happen because you would think, all right, just vote right down party lines. But two Republicans sided with Democrats. And they were, of course, Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, who sucks, and Susan Collins, who sucks even more.
Both of them suck.
Really mm-hmm. bad. Really bad. But
now, you're not saying that on the Senate floor during debate, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No.
Then it's allowed.
No, okay.
Then it's
Thank
allowed.
They voted against her because they stated before she's not qualified because she didn't go to private or public school, and neither do her kids. So she didn't go to a public school. She went to private, apparently. And her kids apparently go to private school. So she's not qualified to head up public education.
You mean she went to schools that work, so she's not qualified
to
make schools work.
I mean, that's interesting. That's an interesting point of view, but that's why they sided with the Democrats, supposedly.
I honestly think the real reason why is because she was the only one out of this entire batch of people that Trump has nominated who didn't do a particularly good job in her hearing. She stumbled a lot. She had kind of answers. She had a couple moments where it didn't seem like she knew what she was talking about. She had a couple of awkward moments.
Yeah, I don't like her.
And again, like, yeah, she would not be my pick by any means.
She's not great.
She was Jeb Bush's pick. So, I mean, for all the people who were so excited about Trump shaking up and draining the swamp, I mean, Jeb Bush loves Betsy DeVos. She's much better than an Obama appointee. She does Some aspects, Republican policy that we would agree with Jeb Bush on, right? Like things like school choice and homeschooling in some ways. But I mean,
she was a Common Core person.
She liked Common Core.
Now she says she doesn't, right. But she did.
Right. And so again,
not ideal.
She's not ideal and would not be the person that I would pick for this role. That being said, the only reason Republicans switched on her and Democrats are so pissed off about her in particular is they've got the best footage on her.
Yeah.
They've got the most easily communicated by video and short clips message that she's incompetent. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she's not. There's no reason to say she's incompetent. I don't think she's right on all the policy. But, they wanted to pick someone to oppose really hard and try to knock down one of his appointees. And it does not look like they're going to, at least at this point, it doesn't look like they're going to get any of them.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I mean, they're not going to get Sessions for sure. It doesn't seem like they're going to get any of them. They didn't get Tillerson. Gorsuch is going to be a big one. It's obviously a separate situation, but I don't think they're going to get Gorsuch either. I think Gorsuch is going to go, and I think it's very possible you might not even need the nuclear option with Gorsuch because they're thinking they should oppose whoever the next person is even harder. So they want to get the precedent set that it's still 60 votes. So they might even give him Gorsuch on this, which would be great. And then you go further than that. I mean, really, we haven't seen any
You would have thought that of all the nominees so far, Tillerson would have had the toughest road because, ExxonMobil and all that stuff. That's pretty easy to demonize. And they couldn't stop that. So I think it's clear sailing for virtually all of the nominees. Virtually all of them. And like you said, Gorsuch might be a tougher road, but we'll see. That even looks pretty good at this point. But as for the DeVos confirmation, a tweet came from Ashley Johnson. Do we know who Ashley Johnson
is? This is just one example. Just this one was highlighted specifically by David Harsanyi at The Federalist. But it's a great window into the thinking. And some of the stuff that Glenn talks about, I think, honestly, where he says, hey, instead of just bashing the left, realize that they're now vulnerable to your opinions. I mean, that's not the way Glenn would put it. He would put it much more Gandhi-esque. But, I mean, look at this. Look at this from some crazy liberal who hates Betsy DeVos more than, poison. This is, I don't know what her name is, Ashley Johnson. Now that DeVos is in, this would be the time for you to begin looking at alternative methods of education, online, homeschooling, etc. She goes on to say that people...
That's unbelievable.
Because all of a sudden, these things are valuable.
Yeah.
Now, when Barack Obama was a kook.
You were a kook if you were a homeschooler. To these people before.
Yeah. And here's the opposite side of this. And this is interesting to see that it's not really about these ideas. It is about the personality.
Right.
We should be able to all agree that if the government is too big, it can control things about your life that you don't like. You might be able to want to choose the way your family is educated. You should be able to do that. The problem is progressives, largely, they come on both sides, as Glenn has pointed out. But progressives, largely, are the ones saying, well, you know what? My way's right, your way's wrong. So therefore, I should be able to tell you how you're going to be educated. I should be able to tell you how you're going to get your health care. I should be able to tell you all these things about your life that I should be able to control. And so we oppose those things when it's Barack Obama. And we also oppose them now. And now we are both the left and at least the conservative right, because I think that the hardcore Trump people are a different animal on this side. I think in that I think they like their guy having that power. So I don't know that you're going to be able to reach all of those people. But the traditional sort of conservative says, wait a minute, here's an opportunity. Here's an opportunity to say, wait a minute, let's lock these things in. You want to limit government power? You want to limit executive branch power? Now is the time to do it. You can take powers away from the evil Donald Trump, and what you'll be able to do is lock those things in for some period of time, hopefully a lengthy period of time.
Can I rip the knob off? I can lock it in.
Oh, yeah. And
but can I rip the knob off?
Well, I mean, you're going to damage your property, so I would say.
But it's worth it, right?
Well, no, I mean, not in the radio situation. Oh. I've never understood that. If you rip the knob off, I mean...
Then
you can't change the volume.
Right, but if it's locked in, then I'm fine right there.
No, not maybe it's too loud. Maybe you get a phone call. You know, these things all agreed
before. That's the wrong knob.
Oh, okay. Oh, is there, no, because you're going to lock it in.
I miss those days. Yeah. Lock it in and rip the knob off.
So you're always on that station being the guy. Because I know also they tell you to jack it up, jack up the volume.
Yeah.
And if you're doing that, then you're going to need the volume knob to stay. The knob for volume needs to stay, just the station.
Just
where you
the station knob, yeah.
That's important to note.
Somehow you just rip the one station knob tuning knob. Yeah.
Now, some of the knobs, unfortunately, came really close together.
Yeah,
and,
they did.
Or sometimes were part of the same knob, and then you're really screwed. But here's an example of this. And this one's probably too far-reaching to actually work. But Thomas Massie is a guy we like. Good congressman, really smart, Tea Party guy, real conservative, and right on almost everything. He is introducing a bill right now to eliminate the Department of Education. You don't like Betsy DeVos? Good idea. We agree with you. She shouldn't have all that power. Let's just get rid of the thing. Now, this is something that used to be something that every conservative believed in. Mm-hmm. Ronald Reagan obviously famously argued for this passionately and was never able to fully get it done. He says in here he thinks that if it passed, Trump would sign it. Now, I don't know about that. I would love it, but I don't know about it. It would be interesting to see. The bill basically says that unelected bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. should not be in charge of our children's intellectual and moral development. States and local communities are best positioned to shape curricula that meet the needs of their students. Schools should be accountable. Parents have the right to choose the most appropriate educational opportunity for their children, including homeschool, public school, or private school. And that's the thing. Which would be great here is if you're that lady that we just saw tweeting who probably wants to create a homeschooling program that teaches communism, right? They can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone can do what they think is right and send their children to the place in which they think is right. You know, that is, I mean, everyone talks about private school. Well, you're so rich, you took your kid to private school. We can't have Betsy DeVos. She just went to private school because she's just this rich person. And she just got spoiled with these unbelievable private schools. Of course she's going to complain about public schools. And anyway, she shouldn't have that role. Wouldn't it be great if we all got to choose private schools, right? Like, the point isn't to ruin Betsy DeVos's kids' education so you can all have an equal one. It's that we hopefully give everyone the opportunity to go to schools like that, schools that are achieving at high levels. And, you know, if you were able to keep your tax money every year that you dump into the school system, unless you're a renter, Jeffy and I would like that sentiment. If you happen to be a renter, you might get out of some of this. But if you're a homeowner, you're paying, and Pat is a great example of this, who spent his entire life owning homes, dumping money into the tax system, and not sending his kids to the schools.
Yes.
It's insanity.
It is.
It really is. I mean, you're punishing people who are choosing to educate their kids the way that they want to educate them, which is like your fundamental responsibility as a parent.
Right. And not only that, it's so bad that I pay these outrageous, and they are here especially, they're outrageous property taxes to pay for these schools. And then I can't even, if I want to, utilize the schools for extracurricular activities. I can't do that. I pay all of these taxes, all of this money every single year. And
you can't put your kid on the football team.
I can't even put the kid on the football team, or you can't play baseball or whatever. They won't let you do it. It's like, what? I'm paying taxes to you. What do you mean I can't do it? I don't even know how they get away with it, frankly. It's unbelievable.
It is one of those things.
It's unbelievable.
How do they get away with that?
I don't know. But it pisses me off. And then the homeschooler people will say, no, you don't want to do that because that gives them power. You want to be able to do that because as soon as you use the school system, no, that's not true. No, I'm paying for these services.
Right.
I'm paying for them already, so I should be able to utilize that aspect and leave everything else alone.
I heard Jeffy have the exact same conversation with a young woman outside the parking lot the other day, and
it
was
really?
I don't know if it was the same topic, but it was
weird.
Really passionate.
Was that about school?
He said, "I'm paying for the service, and I need to be able to forget it." It was interesting though. Anyway, we support the Massie bill. I would say that's safe.
That'd be great.
Safe to say, would love to see it. It probably won't happen, but there might be something in this realm, maybe not as far-reaching, where you could say, you know what, liberals, we agree with you. Betsy DeVos should not have all this power. Let's strip some of it away from her.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully, Betsy DeVos would say, do that. Maybe she is the person that, you know, a lot of people on the right think she is.
But maybe.
But whatever. The point is, take power away from these federal agencies. Mm-hmm. Do everything you can to do it. And if that happens, we're going to be in a society that's run more closely to federalism. And that's what we were supposed to have here. So
exactly right.
Hopefully that's on the way.
Plus, you can get a system that's more closely related to your values with your current phone carrier. Because what's happening right now, and you don't even know it probably, is that you pay your monthly bill, and then your phone carrier uses a portion of the monthly bill you just paid to donate to causes they believe in, like Planned Parenthood or liberal politicians, and they spend millions of dollars to do these things every year.
I mean, they're about to spend multiple millions of dollars, all these organizations, to try to stop the nomination of Neil Gorsuch and the confirmation of Neil Gorsuch. You're paying your phone bill. You're calling people. You might even be calling people saying, hey, isn't Neil Gorsuch great? And then the money you're spending on that phone call might be going to stop Neil Gorsuch. It makes no sense.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
That's why you have Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile offers nationwide talk and text with high-speed 4G LTE data and, you know, the prices you need, along with 5% of your monthly bill goes to a conservative organization of your choice. You can pick it. If you think education is the big important thing, you can find an education organization. You want to stop something about the environment. You want to have something where it's arguing for more economic freedom. Whatever you want, you pick the charity that you want the money to go to, and you control it.
This takes one of those things off of your plate, you know, because you hear about this kind of stuff, and you think, I don't want that to happen, but I don't want to suffer with my phone service either. And this way, you don't have to. Patriot Mobile takes care of all of that. Great service, and they donate to conservative causes. Plus, they'll also buy out your current contract up to $500 per line, and then they'll throw in a free iPhone or, you know, and that includes the unlimited talk, text, and data plans or the Galaxy S5.
Yeah.
Either one of those.
Call now. Patriot Mobile will waive your $35 activation fee. This is the promo code you need to use, though, to get that is Pat and Stu.
So what we're saying is it doesn't cost you anything to take advantage of a really great deal and a really great company and then have a company that also shares your values. Patriot Mobile. So go to patriotmobile.com/blaze or call 1-800-A-PATRIOT. 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Now, big debate last night. We've been kind of looking forward to it, and then I forgot it was on. It was was it on CNN?
You were looking forward to it that much?
I was looking forward to it that much, and then I forgot it was on.
I was actually looking forward to it.
I was.
Did you watch? I had other crap going on that I was not able to watch.
Did you remember? Would you have
I was there. I was just unfortunately working on other things, so I was not able to actually watch. Because I knew if I turned it on, I would just be paying attention to that, and I would not get my work done. So I can't, there's certain things I can do. Like I could throw a, you know, if there's a college basketball game on that I don't care about, I could throw that on in the background. You know what I mean? Like that's, there are TV things that I can put on. I can put music on and I can work through it. But if I put something on like a political debate like that, I would not be able to focus.
Yeah.
Or if you put on something like, you know, a World War II documentary, that I'm totally screwed.
Then you wouldn't be able to focus.
There's no work that gets done at all. If you put Valkyrie on TV, then there's absolutely no chance. I mean, I just automatically will watch it until the end. It's just auto-watch.
But again, you haven't watched, nobody in the room watched Legacy 24 or 24 Legacy?
No, not yet.
I caught some.
I think I DVR'd it.
Yeah, I did catch some of it.
Did you like it at all? I mean, I kind of like the guy. I was a little bothered by the fact that Kiefer Sutherland isn't in this. He's executive producing, I think, but he's not in it, you know, so you don't have Jack Bauer. I'm like, whoa. Without Jack Bauer, come on, that's what 24 is all about. But this kid's pretty good. I like him.
And they're probably saving $12 million a year, right?
Probably are.
I mean,
yes.
You know, so.
Yeah, they probably are. And it's compelling. I mean, it's 24. They do a good job of making really compelling television. It's like just like it was the first time around, it's a movie every week. It's movie quality every week. So I don't know how they keep that kind of quality going.
It's got to be so expensive. But if you're saving money on the side with Kiefer, maybe you can make it happen. I think that's what happens with, it's a weird thing, and this happens with in our business as well, radio and certainly television. as the series goes on, as year after year after year passes, and this happens all the time, even in local radio, obviously, the successful radio host makes more money. And I think you're misunderstanding what successful means.
What does that happen, by the way?
No, again, I said successful. So a successful host would make more money, right? The morning show host in your town. They start off and they're making, you know, some money, and then they get big in the ratings, and they make more and more money, and then they make more and more money, and then they start adding perks, and they start getting more producers and a bigger staff, and they make more and more money. And then in year 10, right, maybe it's not, you're not the hot new thing anymore, and there's a new guy in town, and maybe he picks away a little bit at your ratings, and your ratings go down a little bit or whatever. The company, especially if like a new executive comes in, they look at it and they say, okay, well, we're getting decent ratings out of this person, but not unbelievable anymore, and his cost is so high, we're not making enough money. So let's just blow him out and bring in a new guy, and we could save all that money, and we'll get the same ratings. Now, of course, that never works, but on television, with television shows, it does. You can understand with Kiefer Sutherland. Like, they go through, by season 8, the ratings were way down from the beginning. And another really good example of this is Donald Trump. Trump, he had huge ratings for the first 2 seasons of that show. And they paid him like he had huge ratings in the first 2 seasons for all of the seasons. So by season 12, when he was getting very few people watching the show, they were still paying him a fortune, and the show made no sense anymore. Now they go to Arnold Schwarzenegger, who they're paying considerably less money than they did Donald Trump, and he's putting up the same numbers, basically, as Donald Trump did at the end.
Oh, is he really?
Oh, yeah. Trump keeps complaining about these ratings. Good. Look at the chart of it. You know, it's basically Trump's last season ratings with a slight degrading due to the way every TV show is degrading right now, because they're going to different options and cable subscriptions are dropping. Like, there's a small, you know, I don't know, maybe it's 5% off of his last season. Now, Trump is comparing it to his first season, where he had gigantic ratings, and saying what a failure Schwarzenegger is. But when you look at it, really, I mean, the fact that anyone's tuning in for that show after 12 seasons or whatever is amazing. And it's nothing to, you know, Trump was not a dynamic enough personality to hold a show for that long, and very few people are. That's a long freaking time.
Plus, Kiefer's got his other gig, too, so if he's executive producer of this one and he's doing...
Well, remember, Donald Trump is executive producer of The Apprentice.
No, I know, sometimes Kiefer's executive producer credits. Kiefer's got the designated survivor that he's doing now, too, so...
And which I've heard is very similar.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's pretty good. It is similar, yeah.
It's similar to what, 24?
24, yeah. And he's the president?
Well, he becomes the president.
He becomes the president.
Yeah, because everybody blows up during the State of the Union, right?
Right, so he's the guy who does it. So, I mean, it's a little bit different in that he's not investigating terrorism, but it's still a terrorism-related show that's very intense. And I mean, you know, which is good. I like Kiefer in these roles.
The generals are trying to blame it on terrorism, Stu.
Right.
There's some FBI agents that think not.
I watched probably the first 5 or 6 seasons of 24 pretty religiously.
Me too.
And watched it.
They lost me in season 7.
Yeah, and season 7 is about the time I lost it.
When they started in on the global warming, Muslims are lovely,
and that was earlier.
They don't really do terrorism, and this is just
that shipped away.
That's why we're going to some guy from France.
Okay. Right, but I will say
it's a French terrorist. I'm like, okay, I'm done.
That stuff all chipped away at it for me.
Yeah, sure did.
Because it was, oh God, another global warming measure. Oh God, we don't like dislike Muslims. I got it. Why do you think we do? We're watching your show. We're the people who are paying your salaries. You think we all hate Muslims? Like, stop it. So that stuff always chipped away at it. However, when the show was still good, and it still felt fresh, I stuck around. Mm-hmm. That being said, after a while, that same relationship of, you know, almost every season felt like it would start out, it would be some Muslim terrorist, but then he was always just a small cog in the wheel.
Right.
And was actually run by some white guy in Russia or Kyrgyzstan or France or wherever.
And it was every time.
And then after that, around, you know, hour 18, that would fall away, and we'd realize actually it was someone in our own government who was working with them.
In league with a corporation at like Raytheon or some defense contractor. Right. But they're the real bad people.
But the show was intense enough that I still overlooked most of that stuff until it got old. It wasn't necessarily that, like, them annoying me politically was not the reason I left. It just eventually got old and repetitive.
It was a contributing factor, sure, for me.
So I had an interesting experiment with this, and this is not even close to what we were talking about.
I know, this we'll have to get back to that.
But I had an interesting experiment in that I didn't watch season 7, even though I was like, maybe I'll watch it at some point. And it wasn't until a couple years later that I was looking for something to watch on like a flight. And I was like, you know, there's still a couple seasons of 24 I haven't seen yet. I should just download those and watch it. Yeah, I like the show. And, you know, it's been a while since I watched it. Jumping back into it after a couple years felt great. The show again. I didn't have the same problems with it. And even though I know the pattern's sort of repeated, I still really enjoyed it.
And you didn't have Kiefer between breaks preaching to you about,
that's true, too.
Hey, you know what? All Muslims are really nice people. They're fantastic. I think you should marry an imam, in fact.
And why aren't you Muslim, by the way? What's wrong with you? Why aren't you Muslim?
Why haven't you converted? Why aren't you with the seven pillars of Islam or
was
five
really
or whatever there are? He was doing that kind of thing.
Oh, well, not God. That bad.
I mean, it wasn't that bad, obviously, but it was.
He was
hey,
that bad.
Don't forget that Muslims are good people, and
that was
you should
disclaimer?
Be nice to people. Yes.
They were running the Kiefer disclaimers.
Yes.
Oh my God.
You didn't know that?
I didn't. I stopped watching it after about 2 or 3 years. I
mean, okay. Because I'd say that happened like season 4. Because I was like season 4, where liberals started saying these guys are just mean to Muslims.
For a while.
Liberals started saying, though, these guys are just mean to Muslims.
Yeah.
And they're just constantly showing Muslims as the terrorists.
Yeah.
So in response
and
to that...
And they met with care. Remember that?
And then in response to that, 24 said, look, we're not saying all Muslims are terrorists. You shouldn't judge all Muslims together. And that was insulting to me as a viewer. I'm not doing that. I'm smart enough to know it. And the fact that you needed the disclaimer... pisses me off.
Right.
The next season, they came out, and it wasn't even like that. It was just like, global warming's really bad. Global warming's going to kill you. And we're like, wait a minute, what the hell? This has nothing to do with even the show. Now they're just giving us political messages for no reason.
Guns kill people, not people. People don't kill. Why are you using them all the time then on the show?
So anyway.
It was ridiculous.
We're running very late.
Yes. And I can see, though, that all the same traits and characteristics from those eight seasons are in the new one. There's... You know, something wrong. Something could be wrong at CTU. Something's probably wrong in the government itself. There's a Muslim infiltrator in an important position.
If it ain't broke, why fix it?
It gets old.
But it does. But I mean, you think you'll make it through this season? I mean, are you liking it so far enough to get it through the season?
I think
the next season's going to be a challenge. But
it is.
The fact that they're hitting you with this out of you have it a couple years without it. It kind of feels good again.
Yeah, it does.
But again,
it ended in what, 10, 11?
I don't know.
12?
And they also did that movie. They did a movie, like a 2-hour movie, like for TV. Which again, that
which
was pretty
good
too.
Which I didn't see that either.
I mean,
Wow.
All 24, 10.
Go back and look at those other seasons, those older seasons, if you haven't seen them. They're all pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, again, they're not maybe as good and fresh as the early years, but that happens with every freaking season.
95 episodes of this.
It's a lot.
195.
All right, we got to take a break. We're super
late.
I know,
it doesn't seem like.
I hate to cut you off.
More Pat and Stu.
We got to.
I
hate to cut you off. I hate to cut Pat off. I mean, I'd actually rather cut off than hear what you're going to say, but that's totally different.
Definitely.
We were working on the show plan here right now. Let's move Cruz and Sanders to the start of next hour.
Yeah.
We'll move on here and we'll talk about, female CNN reporters. I guess it's okay to objectify men, right?
Sure.
It's totally fine to objectify men. You can't objectify women. But you can objectify men. That's okay.
And of course, women are always objectifying us and we're used to it.
Well, I'm not,
so
you know,
we don't object to it as much as we probably should.
It's like online bullying, know? Pat. You know, we might be used to it, but that doesn't make it right. And you know, just because we happen to guess, yes, we get objectified by women all the time on the show. And I'm,
sure. And I mean, who
I
can blame
you
them? You know what I mean? But stop it. The answer is no.
Well, yeah.
Okay,
first of all, no. We're married.
The answer is no.
We're all married. And Jeffy, obviously, his marriage
the
is very.
The answer is yes.
Well, for Jeffy.
For Jeffy, it's yes. But for us, it's no. Okay. I guess on CNN, you're allowed to ogle men if you think they're hot. I mean, you know, that's okay. We found that out with
amazing.
Brianna Keeler, I guess, yesterday.
Staying on President Obama and looking at these pictures of him, Necker Island, you know, Sir Richard Branson's island. I mean, can we say on TV that President Obama is jacked?
Oh, good God.
Well, you just said it.
Are you serious?
He seems to have had some time in the gym, which he did make a regular habit of that as president. But he's been relaxing, and you probably haven't seen him like this. But, I mean, come on. If you were on Richard Branson's private island...
Yes, the answer is yes.
You're spending days kiteboarding. I mean, how excited and relaxed are
the
you going to
yes.
look?
Yes.
Yeah, she's saying she's going to hook up with him.
The answer is
unreal.
Yes.
Yeah. She is like...
She's smitten.
I mean,
that's first
pathetic.
Of all,
that's
I mean,
can you imagine that with any other president?
Oh my God! No,
I mean, especially a Republican president. I can imagine it with Clinton. She would do it with Clinton. Mm-hmm. She obviously did it with Obama. Let's see, who else would you do that with?
Kennedy.
Kennedy,
mm-hmm,
for
sure. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's okay with Democrats, and it's not okay with Republicans. It's pretty clear. But beyond that, he's not jacked.
No, he's
I mean
not
he looks pretty good in those pictures. I think
but
I mean he's not jacked.
This is what they do with this guy. They made him out to be this superstar athlete, which he throws like a girl. He can't play athletics at all. We saw he can't shoot hoops, which he was supposed to be so tremendous. Mm-hmm. He can't play golf, even though he did it 1,500 times. I mean, the guy is not an athlete, and he's not jacked.
No, he's not jacked. And by the way, I would say, why on earth are these photos out?
I don't know.
Like, I mean,
don't know.
This weird photo where you have this, like, 914-year-old guy, Richard Branson, like, holding his neck is so weird.
Really
it's such a weird picture. And, like, why would Obama want those out? I mean, if you're Richard, is Richard Branson releasing photos of Obama because I got him over my house and he went on my boat, so I get to release pictures of him?
I bet you Obama is, though, right? Branson probably isn't. Branson doesn't care either way, right?
No, I mean, Branson doesn't care, but from what I understand, the Branson's organization took the pictures. Which you might expect if you have the president over, you're going to have some pictures taken to remember it. But like the fact that they were released is, to me, very strange. Okay, so there had to be conversations with the Obama people being like, by the way, we're going to set a bunch of pictures of you parasailing or whatever the hell, kiteboarding, whatever it was. It didn't work well for John Kerry.
I'm going to show some with my hands around your neck like I'm choking you.
I mean, look how old he looks there.
Yeah.
That's a weird, first of all, it's a weird situation. And it's weird, you're right, that they took the photo in the first place.
Yeah,
it's even weirder that they released it.
Yeah,
Pat, are you even... With all that said, I mean, yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
start to finish.
Okay.
What? Whole thing. Just weird.
There's no way you would say no to that.
You'd
Let's
say
take
no to what?
A break right away and maybe never come back.
Yeah.
888-727-BECK is.
Why would you come back? I was just talking about saying yes.
No, I know what you were saying. I know what you're talking about, and it's not appropriate for daytime viewing.
Some stories that Jeffy found and felt like sharing with us, so we don't have to talk anymore.
All right, so it's Wednesday after the Super Bowl, so it's not too late to still talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. Netflix was one of the companies that had one of their big ads during the Super Bowl, which generated this particular ad for Stranger Things 2, which was the number one tweeted ad from the Super Bowl. I mean, at the time that the ad went on, 307,000 tweets between 6:30 p.m. and 11 o'clock on Sunday, which after they ran this ad, which is pretty amazing. Let's see the uploaded season 2 of Stranger Things.
Look on my ego.
You like on my ego.
I love it!
Weird. What did Let Go of My Ego have to do with any of that?
We are in the 80s.
I don't understand.
Okay, yeah. Everybody, this is an 80s-based show.
Yeah,
like that is seems to be
the
only thing I know about it, to be honest. It's the only thing I know about it.
Yeah, the girl from the Upside Down, that's what she ate, was the Ego waffles. I mean, that was the whole deal behind her coming from
Upside Down. Oh, that's right.
I actually don't know anything about the show other than they just want to put a lot of 80s things inside the show.
Which I would love. It's in the 80s.
Right, which I would love, though. I would like, That's, I mean, it's probably pretty good. I just haven't
it is pretty good.
Given myself pretty good. A chance to watch
it's
it.
It's real good.
Yeah.
Also, yesterday we had the Taco Bell chicken chalupa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I just saw an ad now that right now, chicken surpasses everything. Fast food industry currently obsessed with fried chicken. 100 biggest restaurant chains in the U.S., 3 of the 5 fastest growing chicken concepts. Number one category in fast food business by purchase since last April. Bypassing burgers.
See, I would think that because people think chicken is like better for them. I wouldn't say they think of it was necessarily a fried thing, right? Like, there's like a lot of the like healthier things that they, you know, these places come up with all have chicken in them instead of, you know, burgers.
I bet that has something to do with it.
Although
when you see the caloric count on a chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A, it's probably at least as much as a burger.
Oh
right?
My gosh, probably more.
Yeah, maybe even more.
Probably more.
The grilled chicken one is less.
Yes.
The grilled chicken one is less.
Is it? Yeah, yeah. The one you just say, I want a chicken sandwich.
That's not right,
that's fried.
Is, but man, is it good.
I know, wait till the McDonald's checking for the chicken McGriddle breakfast sandwich.
What? I
mean, that might not be bad.
No, that's not bad. Is that really in the works?
The brunch thing is kind of interesting right now because I've noticed like Jack in the Box has like breakfast burgers with eggs on them and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think Burger King now is offering their dinner menu for breakfast because everyone did breakfast all day. That was their answer to it, at least in some markets.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan. By the way, the egg on the burger thing, because you know I have the veggie burgers often, but the egg on the burger thing is pretty good. I actually like it.
I know,
I do too.
Yeah. Pat was a big fan of that too. I like it.
It's worth it.
It's got sauce.
Yeah, I can't.
It's sauce. It's American sauce. I don't like that.